Hello.
Hello.
Hasn't this been a great series?
Yes.
I'm probably going to ruin it now, but there we are. Hopefully not. So today we're looking at probably the most famous of the parables, the parable of the prodigal son. Probably everyone knows the story. Does anyone not know the story? That's good. We love the story because it's kind of like our story. You know, we know what it's like to be lost, to be far away from God, and then come home and find God, as Phil said, running to meet us where we are. It's a great story. But to Jesus' original listeners, it was actually a scandalous story. We kind of like films that are scandalous, don't we, sometimes, you know, filled with scandals, soap operas, that kind of stuff. But for Jesus' original listeners, this was scandalous. Amen. Come on, we're practicing for Brazil. Amen. Oh, gloria a Deus. So, we're just going to go through the story and just take a few little bits out of the story here and there. We're not going to read it all in one chunk first. So, here we go. It starts off, Jesus talks about a man and he's got two sons. He's obviously quite a wealthy man because he's got an estate. And the younger son comes to the father and he says, "Father, I want my share of the inheritance now." First scandal, a son in that culture. We've got to get our heads into that culture a bit, okay? In that culture, a son would not speak like that to his father. It's disrespectful. And to be honest, he needs to be slapped down, which is the second scandal, because the father, instead of slapping him down or kicking him out, which he had every right to do, he actually gives him what he asks for. What kind of a father is this? So the younger son wants his inheritance. Instead of slapping him down, the father actually says, all right, and he divides his estate between the two sons, and he gives the younger son his share. The younger son, in a very short time, decided, I don't want to live here anymore. I'm not bothered about my family. I'm not bothered about what I've got here. I want to go and enjoy my life. Goes off to a distant land, and there he wastes all the money on everything that is no good. And that's it. That's what he goes for. He's just living the life until the money runs out. And then when the money runs out, he's got nothing. And there's a famine hits the land, and it's just terrible. He's got nothing. He's got nowhere to go. And so he hires himself out to feed pigs. Scandalous. For the Jews at that time, the pigs were the most unclean animals on the face of the earth. And yet here he is, he's going to live amongst the pigs and take care of them. And then to make it even worse, he's so hungry, he wants to eat the pigs' food. Even more scandalous. This is all just so awful for those original listeners. And Jesus wants to make it very clear just how far this lad has fallen. He's come from this wonderful, loving family, and now he's living amongst the most filthy animals on the face of the earth, with no money, with nothing, and he even wants to eat their food. It's scandalous. Finally, he comes to his senses and he thinks, actually, the servants at my father's house are much better off than I am. I'm going to go home. I'm going to say, sorry, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's his expectancy. He doesn't expect to be welcomed back as a son. He doesn't even expect to be welcomed back as a servant. You see, the servants lived on the estate, either in the main house or they'd have their own little home on the estate. The hired servants would go in on a daily basis. As far as he was concerned, his father wouldn't want him even living on the estate. But maybe, just maybe, he let him go in every day, do some work to earn a bit of money, and then go off and try and find somewhere to lay down for the night. That was his expectation. And so he sets off. But as we've heard already, when he's still a long way off, the father sees him. And he's filled with love and compassion, and he runs out to his son. That's great, isn't it? It's a scandal. Thank you, John. It's a scandal. Gentlemen in this culture do not run. It's considered undignified. Gentlemen would walk. Children could run. But the father is so overwhelmed with love and compassion for this son, he runs out. And when he gets to his son, he hugs him and kisses him. Another scandal. Ooh. So, this kid has been living amongst the pigs, the unclean animals. In hugging his son, the father is becoming ritually unclean as well. As far as the religious leaders are concerned, if you touch someone who's been contaminated in any way, then you're contaminated with them. Scandalous. The father is willing to dirty himself and make himself ritually unclean because he loves his son. And the son says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father doesn't let him finish what he's been rehearsing. And he calls his servants, "Quick, get him a robe, get him sandals, and get him a ring for his finger." The sandals were because only slaves walked around barefoot. Free people wore sandals on their feet. The robe speaks of nobility. It's hiding the filthy rags that he's wearing. And the ring, it's the signet ring of the family that would be used to seal, to sign official documents. The father is basically saying, "You're not going back through those gates as a slave or as a nobody. You're going back through those gates as my son. You're not a slave. You're not a nobody. You're nobility. You're my son. And that's how you're going back in through those gates." And he calls his servants, "Right, we're going to celebrate. We're going to kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. We're going to call in all the neighbors, all our friends, and we're going to celebrate." And that's exactly what they did. They threw this huge party, spur of the moment. Everyone comes along. There's singing. There's dancing. It's a wonderful time. And it's a great story, isn't it? It's our story. That's our story. When we came to Jesus, that's what happened to us. There was a party. God threw his robe around us. He put the new shoes on our feet and he put the ring on our finger and said, "Now you're my son, you're my daughter, and we're going to celebrate." It's the Hollywood ending to the parable, isn't it? No. No, it's not, is it? It's a great ending for the younger son, but it's not a good ending for the next one to appear, because there's someone who hasn't appeared yet in the story. He's been mentioned very briefly. Who's missing? Laurie's still awake.
That was just a
surprise to hear. It was. Wow. Oh, that's thrown me off now. The older brother. Now, he's been out working in the fields all day, and he doesn't know what's been going on. And he gets home, and as he gets near the house, he hears music and dancing, and he asks one of the servants, "What's going on?" And the servant says, "It's fantastic. Your brother's come home. Your dad's killed the fattened calf. We're having a party to celebrate." The older brother wasn't as happy as everyone else. In fact, he was angry. He wasn't happy with this at all. He was angry and he refused to go in. Is that a scandal? It's a scandal. It's his father's happiest day. You don't kill the fattened calf just for Sunday lunch, okay? That's not what you do. They didn't eat much meat in those days because it was too expensive. You might every now and again get the family together, kill a goat or a ram or something like that. But the fattened calf, we're talking about a big celebration, like a wedding. It's a big thing. And when you kill the fattened calf, you bring everyone in to take part. It's a very special occasion. If the father has killed the fattened calf, it's because he is having the happiest day of his life. But the older brother doesn't want to indulge in this. He doesn't care about what his father feels. He cares about his own indignation. It's scandalous. And father goes out to plead with him. Scandalous. The father doesn't do that in that culture. The father should send a message out saying, clear off, get off my property. Or pull yourself together. Either you come in or you're out. But the father leaves his big party, his big celebration, to go and plead with the older son. He's pleading. Fathers don't plead with their son. They tell them what to do. It's scandalous. And the older brother says, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, and I've never even been given a young goat to celebrate with my friends. This sounds very familiar. The younger son wasn't interested in his father. He just wanted what he could get from his father. The older son is actually, in effect, saying the same thing. I've been slaving for all these years and you've never given me anything. What's the point? And then, again, so scandalous. He says, when this son of yours, he doesn't want to say my brother, when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Scandalous. No respect for his father at all. He's criticizing his father. He's questioning his father's wisdom. He's basically saying, you're acting like an idiot, Dad. What are you doing? This is stupidity. And the father says, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours, which is true. He'd already divided up the estate. The younger son had his bit. Everything else is going to go to the older son. And the father says, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So did the older brother go into the party? What do we think? We don't know. Jesus doesn't tell us. He leaves us hanging. Well, come on, Jesus, finish the story. Does he go in or not? Well, there's a reason why he doesn't tell us. And that's where we need to look at the context. So, Luke chapter 15, this is where we find this parable of Jesus. And it starts off, Jesus is attracting loads of people, kind of like low life, prostitutes, tax collectors, collaborators with the Romans, the kind of people that aren't really decent, upright, religious folk. But they're coming to Jesus. They want to hear what he's got to say. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they hate it. They're murmuring, they're muttering, they're complaining. Who does he think he is? How can he surround himself with these horrible people? And so Jesus starts three parables, which are all, in a sense, are actually the same one. The first one was the lost sheep. We all know the story. Guy's got 100 sheep, loses one, leaves the 99 in a safe place, runs out, finds the sheep, brings it back home, has a party, calls everyone in. Come and celebrate with me. I found my sheep, one sheep out of 100. Then the next part, Jesus ups the stakes a little bit. It's a woman and she's only got 10 coins, but they're silver coins, so they're more valuable. And she loses one. That's one out of 10. And she sweeps the house, searches for it, finds the coin, and the same thing. Calls all her friends and neighbors in. Let's celebrate. Let's have a party. I found my coin. And then we get to the third part of the parable, which is the lost son. And this time, it's even more valuable. It's one son out of two. And so Jesus says the same thing. When the father's son comes home, he says, come on in, we're going to have a party, we're going to celebrate. And when Jesus talked about the older son, the Pharisees and the religious leaders knew who they were. They knew that Jesus was saying, you are acting like the older brother. You've challenged God's wisdom. You've got no grace for certain types of people. And you don't care about God's joy when a sinner repents. You just want your religion, your rules, your regulations, and just carry on like that. The Father wanted a welcoming, joyful, loving, grace-filled home for the whole family. That was what the Father wanted. The Pharisees didn't want that. The older brother didn't want that. He would not cooperate. And so Jesus leaves it hanging. You're the older brother. What are you going to do? Are you going to come in and join the party? Or are you just going to stand outside, moaning, complaining, and whinging about all of this? And so it's for them to finish the parable. Are they going to join the party, or are they going to stay outside complaining? And so we come to the conclusion here. I shall leave this for a minute. It's been a long PowerPoint, hasn't it? I was inspired by Matt on the first Sunday teaching this when the PowerPoint wouldn't work, and I actually really enjoyed it without the PowerPoint. So, conclusion, a couple of questions, really. So on the part one, have you had that experience that the younger son had of knowing that you're lost, but coming humbly to God through Jesus and saying, please, can I come home? Have you had that experience? If you haven't, talked to one of us afterwards, we can explain it to you. If you have had that experience, how real is that still to you today? In Psalm 51, David, after he'd been caught out in sin and all that, right at the end he says, restore in me the joy of my salvation. And sometimes that's something we need to pray. We forget just what it was like to be lost. We forget what it was like to be living amongst the pigs. But then to come home and discover that love, that grace, that scandalous love of God for us. Maybe we need to reflect on that a little bit and think about that. How good was that when that happened? Maybe it was a few years ago, maybe it was decades ago. But you can still go back to that time and remember, that was amazing. That was amazing. And as a church, I'll change it now, I think. There we go. Are we doing all we can to create a welcoming, joyful, loving, and grace-filled home? Because that's what God wants. He wants to fill this place with people that might not be loved, who might not be welcome in other places. People maybe who are different. But are we willing to do what the Father did and run out, maybe in a scandalous way, to embrace people who just need to have that experience of a loving, welcoming, joyful, grace-filled home. So my piece of the puzzle, which I'm not going to put on because it seems to be quite complicated, I'll do it afterwards, is the kingdom of God is a welcoming, joyful, loving, and grace-filled home. Amen.